Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
If you look at our title today and you see the title a little bit, it kind of makes you maybe have some question marks. What in the world is he talking about when Steve says, in Christ, I am a part of God's temple? And what does that really have anything to do with the significance, the value that we have because we are in Jesus? So today I'm going to take a little bit of time and to help us understand what it means that to be in Christ, I am part of His temple. I'm going to give a little bit of background info on it, and I think it'll help us to see some amazing things about who we are because we are in Jesus. So to do that, we're going to go all the way back to Exodus. All the way back to Exodus. This is when Israel had left Egypt. They had been rescued by God from the slavery of Egypt. And they were on their way to the promised land. They were like, oh, they're on their way to the promised land. And from the very beginning of their journey, God had been leading them with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He was leading them and guiding them on their way to their promised land. Now, during their travels in Exodus 25, while Moses was on Mount Sinai, God made an amazing declaration to Moses and to the children of Israel. God told Moses that he was going to live with them. And so, in order for him to be able to do that, God told him, I want you to make a place ready for me. So in Exodus 25:8, this is what he says. And let them, talking to Moses, and he says, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. So he gives them instructions. All right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to build me a tent, right? A walled tent. It's a tabernacle. That's what they called it, a tabernacle. It's a walled tent that could be carried with them as they traveled from place to place. When they would come on a place where they were going to be resting, the pillar of smoke and the pillar of fire would rest right on top of the tabernacle. Everyone all around the tabernacle could see God's presence in right where they were at, right among them as He lived with them, and His glory was clearly on display for everybody around to see. Even after they moved into the promised land that God had given them, the tabernacle was still God's dwelling place among the nation of Israel, and that happened for several hundred years, even after their time of being in the promised land. One day, King David, who himself lived in a palace, was like, God, you need a home renovation. We need to get you on what is that? Like the DIY network or something in order to give you a massive home renovation. And so God allowed David's son, King Solomon, to build His new dwelling place, the temple in Jerusalem. God's actual dwelling place was a small room inside that temple called the Holy of Holies. That is where God resided. His glory filled that room. And all around knew that God's presence was there among them. Unfortunately, though, the leaders of Israel and even the nation of Israel itself rebelled against God. Walked away from God. And as a result of that, the temple, God's dwelling place, was destroyed. And they were exiled from Israel, their promised land, as slaves. Many years later, other Jews came back to Jerusalem, rebuilt the temple. But again, it wasn't long until the religious leaders started going into rebellion, started becoming corrupt again. It was right around this time that Jesus came onto the scene. Look how John describes Jesus as the Word who came to us. John 1:14, it says this, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Look at this, I love this. "And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And the wording that John uses for that dwelling among us is the same wording that is used for when God dwells among the children of Israel in the temple. Remember at Christmas? We talked about this last Christmas, where we talked about the names of Jesus, Emmanuel being one of them, which literally means God with us. Jesus even used the temple imagery to describe himself in a conversation that he had with the Jews. John chapter 2, and just the next chapter later, John chapter 2 and verse 19 and 20, it says this, "Jesus answered and said unto the Jews, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And you can understand the confusion of the Jews when in their response thence to the Jews, 40 and 6 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? What are you going to do, like a prefab temple? I mean, come on, seriously, this is not going to happen here. You're going to raise this up in 3 days? It took 46 years to build this. What's he talking about here? Actually, obviously the Jews thought he was talking about an actual building. And I'm guessing the disciples did too a little bit. They were probably thinking, man, Jesus is really saying some strange stuff, but this really beats them all a little bit here. Well, it wasn't until after his resurrection that they understood what Jesus was talking about. Verse 21, if we continue the conversation. "But Jesus spake," he spake of the temple of his body. He spake of the temple of his body. Verse 22, "When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture." And let's look at the continuing the verse. "And they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said." See, here's the thing. This is amazing. This is the pinnacle of everything right here. When Jesus came, everything changed. Everything changed when the Son of God became man and dwelt among us. When he lived the perfect life that we could not live. When he gave himself as the perfect lamb, our sacrifice on the cross. When he displayed his glory by rising from the dead 3 days later, Jesus literally changed everything. He changed the very way God dwells with his people. What do I mean? Here's what I mean. Because of Jesus, God doesn't just dwell with his people. Now he dwells within his people. You see, because of Jesus, now people don't have to go to a building to be with God, to see his glory. You don't have to travel to Jerusalem on a pilgrimage to see where God dwells, to see his glory. In fact, you and I aren't Jews. If we're not Jews, we can't even get very far into the temple anyways, right? But because of Jesus, he changed all of this. Now, because we are in Christ, we no longer go to a building. We are a building. God dwells in us, and he displays his glory through us. Paul wrote this beautifully in Ephesians 2, and he's describing what this means for us to be the temple of God, a building in which God resides. He says in verse 19, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners," talking about Gentiles, basically us, right? And he says, "but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom," in Christ, all the building fitly framed together groweth unto what? An holy temple in the Lord. Verse 22. In whom, in Christ, ye also are builded together for an habitation, a dwelling place, a place where God lives, an habitation of God through the Spirit. This passage is an amazing passage. One, because it's already talking about things that we've already looked at previously in this series. Remember when we talked about citizens of heaven, that we are actual citizens of heaven, that we are part of the family of God? We talked about that. But now in verse 20, he starts to describe how we, as those who are in Christ, are being built together as a temple, a dwelling place for God through his Spirit living in us. In these couple of verses, especially 21 and 22, we see a description. How is this temple described? The first thing that comes to mind is verse 20. Let's go to, if you can, go to verse 20. Verse 20, it says that Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. He is the main stone and the foundation. They would find the perfect rock with the perfect angle for the goal that they were building for. And they would line up the building with that rock as its centerpiece, as its main cornerstone. And all of the other rocks line up with that rock. That's literally who Jesus is. He is the main stone in our foundation. He's the one he is the one that we all line up to, the one stone that the building is based on. With Jesus as its focus, the foundation is built all around, being built together as a temple. It starts with the apostles and the prophets who showed us the truths of the gospel in Jesus. And now, brick by brick, stone by stone, we are continually being built together, one upon another, as God's temple, as God's dwelling place. Verse 21 and 22 describe how we are being built together. Look at verse 21 with me. It says, in whom all the building fitly framed together. I love the way they say that. Fitly framed together. It's talking about being carefully joined together, right? That's literally what we talked about just a couple of weeks ago, how each of us, the way God designed us perfectly to fit into this temple, we are God's masterpiece. And this is that form and function aspect of how God beautifully fits us together to fit with the believers around you so that you can love and care for them just as they love and care for you. This is talking about your spiritual gifts, how your spiritual gifts help your brothers and sisters, and their spiritual gifts help you. Just as a body of believers in a temple, in a building, each brick is important. So it's true for us as a body of believers. Each stone in that building is important. Each stone is being held up by others as it holds others up itself. Along with that, there's an interesting thing. It says, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth. Groweth. That's an interesting word, isn't it? Usually when you're done with the building, it's done. Unless you get an old building and you have to keep fixing it up. Right? But this is an interesting aspect of what Jesus is saying. This building keeps growing. It keeps getting stronger. What is he talking about here? We, as in two aspects, one is individual stones, we continue to grow stronger, we continue to grow in love and in patience and in the fruits of the Spirit, but also as a building. Last week we talked about how we were witnesses. Last week we talked about how we were witnesses, right? This building continues to get added on to one stone at a time, one stone at a time, as we witness, as we share with those around us the things, the gospel of Jesus that we've seen, that we've heard, and that we've experienced in our lives. Verse 22 reminds us of the purpose for which we are being built. Verse 22, in whom ye also are builded together. Why? For an habitation, a dwelling place, a living place of God through the Spirit. We are being built together, and we have been given the significance or the privilege of being the home where God has chosen to live. That's the house I want to live in. That's literally what God says. Right there, this is where I want to live. Oh, this is a great place for me to live. This is where I'm choosing to live. Isn't that amazing? You know, when you go house hunting, sometimes you see that, oh, this is perfect. Or you see a piece of land, it's like, oh, I want this land and I'm going to build a house on it. This is literally what God does. God chooses to live in us as his dwelling place. He chooses not just to live with us, he chooses to live in us, within us. You are his home, the place he chooses to live. Paul says we're built together for God's home. He's talking in this passage in Ephesians, he's talking to a church family, right? Just like us. He's talking to the church family. God builds us up together for his Spirit to live in, to display his glory not only to us, but also to those around us by displaying it through us. Today's a special day for us, isn't it? We are once again gathering together as a family. We are able to gather together, not in the dwelling place, but as his dwelling place. Isn't that amazing? Oh, I love that. Praise Jesus, right? I'll tell you what. It's a great time for us to be recommitting ourselves, committing anew to grow in loving one another, to encourage one another, to help with one another. Let's commit to serving one another with the spiritual gifts that God has given us. Let's commit to make the bond of the Holy Spirit stronger and stronger as he lives within us. There's another aspect, though, of being the temple of God. And we find this aspect back in verse 21. In verse 21, it says this: in whom all the building fitly framed together, there's a word I want you to focus on, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. A holy temple. Think about the tabernacle. As Israel traveled to the promised land in the temple in Jerusalem, these were set apart as holy, right? They were set apart. They were different. The tabernacle was like a different tent from all the other tents. It was set apart from all the other tents. The temple was different. It was set apart from all of the other buildings. And it wasn't the fact that it was different that made it special. It was the fact of whose presence was in them that made them special. God, who is holy, God, who is holy, chose to make the temple his dwelling place. And in so doing, it became a special place. And great care was taken to make sure that it stayed pure, to keep it holy, and to keep it pure because the Holy One dwelled in it. Doesn't it make sense that God would tell us, is his dwelling place to be holy too? Not just in our position as ones who are being the household, the dwelling place of God, but also in how we live and how we act. Should we also not be holy because the Holy One dwells in us? Should we not take great care in keeping our bodies holy and pure? This is what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15, but as he which hath called you, he which hath chosen you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, in all of your living. Verse 16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Doesn't that make sense? It makes sense, right? It's what Paul wanted the Corinthian church family to see too. And see, the Corinthian church family, they didn't really seem to understand the reason behind their need to grow in holiness. So Paul reminds them of the reason for it. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6, it says this: what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have heard are which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You guys are the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's what Paul is saying. You guys are God's dwelling place. Jesus bought you with his blood. He paid the high cost to cleanse you, to make you a dwelling place for God himself. Don't you see that? That's Paul is describing this. And he's saying, don't defile it. Keep it pure and holy by being pure and holy. Look what he says in another letter to them. 2 Corinthians, the second letter, or the other letter, 2 Corinthians 6. Look at verses 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God had said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Isn't that an amazing promise? Oh, I love that. I'm going to dwell in them. I'm going to walk with them. They're going to be my people. Verse 17, wherefore, come out from among them. Be separate, saith the Lord. Don't be with those who are worshiping idols. Don't be with that. Come out from among them. You're different. Be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Verse 18, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Think about what it means that because you are in Christ, you are a temple of God himself. Isn't that amazing? Holy God, creator of all things, not only chooses to be with us, but chooses to make us his home. This is such a special thing. What a privilege this is. And so how do we respond with this amazing promise? The next verse tells us, chapter 7, verse 1, says this. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let's clean up the house. Get our home cleaned up. What a great time to commit anew, not only as the temple of God, to love and serve one another as stones within the building, but also to commit anew to be a holy, set-apart home in which the Spirit can live in, to cleanse ourselves from whatever takes away from God's glory. Let's commit now to grow more and more in purity and in holiness as those in whom God lives. Will you commit today to do this? By faith, because you are in Christ, with all of the resources that God has given you to do that, with the strength of Jesus that he has given for you to be able to accomplish these things, and with the help of the Spirit to guide and lead you and to help you through this? Let's take today as a fresh starting point for our church family to build one another up, each brick doing their part to love and to encourage, each brick growing in holiness with the help of the one who lives in us. We have been given an amazing opportunity to have a reset as a family of God in whom God dwells as his home. As we gather together and as we once again grow in loving one another and encouraging and helping one another, let's also commit to grow in holiness and in purity as one, as a body of believers, as a temple in whom God dwells, so that his glory radiates from our church body, from our building, from the home that we are for him. So that those around can see, hey, there's something about that church. And it's not us, it's the one in whom lives in us that makes it so. So let's commit. As a stone As we are built up, let's build one another up. And as God's home, let's make sure we are a pure and holy dwelling place for our Father. Let's pray. Father, thank you for how you love us so. For you choosing to make us a part of your home. You would dwell in us. You would live in us. You would continue to grow us in purity and holiness, in loving others, loving one another. I pray that you would just continue to do the same with us as Akigawa Baptist Church. Help us to grow in loving one another and witnessing so that more can see your goodness and your glory. And help us to be pure, to be holy, to be set apart for you because you live in us. Thank you so much for this amazing opportunity, for the value and the significance that you give to each one of us as part of your temple. In Jesus' name, amen.